The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
George Brockler back with you here on 710 KNUS. Earlier this week, there was an event for a guy named Joe O'Day. He'd like to be our next U.S. Senator, and I think he's got a heck of a chance. And someone that came out to try to help him make the rounds and to spread the word and talk about the importance of getting Joe O'Day in office was a former Army captain. That matters to me, of course, as an Army guy. Current U.S. Senator from the great state of, I think it's pronounced Arkansas, but I'm not sure. Tom Cotton, sir, thanks for joining us.
Hey, George, it's good to be on with you. It's great to be out in, I guess, I don't know, Colorado. It's the way we pronounce it down in Arkansas.
That's right. We end it in A-S as well. It's Colorado-S if you look at it otherwise. Hey, thanks for taking time out of your busy morning to chat with us. I wanted to ask, from your perspective, as someone who's not from Colorado, you are aware of the national issues and maybe even how they might impact us. But as somebody who's out there in the U.S. Senate fighting the fight every day, how important is it for us to get into a position to go from 50-50 to at least 51-49 on the Republican side of things?
I can't stress it how critical it is to gain that one marginal Senate seat, George. I mean, when we have 51 and we're in the majority, that means that we control the agenda. It doesn't necessarily mean we can pass every good piece of legislation that we would like to help stop inflation or control the border or crack down on vicious criminals across the country, but we can control what the Democrats are bringing to the floor. If we had had 51 seats these last 2 years, I promise you they wouldn't have passed that $2 trillion stimulus.
Oh boy.
Any kind of infrastructure bill would have looked very different. They wouldn't have passed their latest $700 billion boondoggle that's only going to contribute to inflation. We would take steps to block their $400 billion student loan bailout, which is grossly unfair to anyone who didn't go to college or work to pay their way through college or pay off their loans. We would be able to block all of their radical nominees to the federal courts, which view themselves as legislators and lawmakers, not as jurists. So I cannot stress how important 51 versus 50 in the United States Senate is to the people of Colorado, and that they have a great opportunity to make the Senate once again a effective check and balance on the runaway ideological agenda of the Biden administration.
Now, the Senate is largely viewed by political scientists as sort of this debating society. The House is a mosh pit, as you can imagine. When you're in this environment where you're going to have the same colleague for 6 years, right, you're going to end up dealing with them. And you've got a guy like Michael Bennett. He's our incumbent United States senator who's been there, I think, since Strom Thurmond was a teenager. But he's been in there a long time. When you get to the business of campaigning for a Joe O'Day, does it make it at all uncomfortable or awkward? Or do you feel like, listen, I have an insight into what Michael Bennett has done for Colorado because I've been working with this guy. This is why we need Joe O'Day.
Well, what Michael Bennett has done for Colorado and for our entire nation is give us the 13% inflation we've had since Joe Biden took office. Spent trillions of dollars that we don't have that have contributed to that inflation, including insane boondoggles like providing stimulus checks to prisoners.
Wow.
Just think about that. You have the United States government supermax prison in Colorado,
Florence, yeah.
and those prisoners, the worst of the worst, got stimulus checks because Michael Bennett voted against my amendment that would prohibit felons from getting them.
Why would he
Michael
do that?
Michael Bennett because he is a rubber stamp for Joe Biden and Chuck Schumer and their left-wing ideological agenda. He is not the kind of clear-eyed, common-sense leader that Joe O'Day will be for the people of Colorado. Michael Bennett votes with Joe Biden 98% of the time.
Oh,
so a vote for Michael Bennett is a vote for Joe Biden.
When you look at the Joe O'Day campaign, and I know you've had the opportunity to spend time with Joe, look, all of these seats that are competitive could go one way or the other. But when you look at Colorado's, what gives you that sense of optimism that I think despite the fact that Michael Bennett's been around forever, he's got a truckload of cash underneath him to spend, I think Joe's going to pull this off.
Now, I think Joe is extremely well positioned to win. But don't take my word for it. Look at what Chuck Schumer has done. Chuck Schumer has spent more than $10 million trying to stop Joe O'Dea. If he thought this race was in the bag or that Michael Bennett could run on his own record and succeed, he wouldn't be funding to the tune of more than $10 million all of those vicious attack ads that you've seen against Joe O'Dea this year. I know from my time in Colorado over the years that the people of Colorado want clear-eyed common sense in Washington. They've given Democrats a chance. Now is the time that they want a check and balance on the runaway Biden agenda. And I'm confident they're going to deliver that check and balance by electing Joe O'Dea.
We're talking with Senator Tom Cotton from Arkansas. A couple questions, if you would, not about the Joe O'Dea part, but give us your sense of what we're going to see take place with Ukraine and Russia right now as we start to head into those dreaded winter months. From the outsider's perspective, from having looked at this and having done my best to keep up with understandingwar.com, it feels like Russia is in a very unique and weird position. And is Putin in the throes of his last big move, or is there more to come? I mean, is this going to be a protracted battle? Is it going to be a negotiated peace? Where are we?
Well, there's no doubt that we are seeing Ukraine on the front foot. This month, they've had a very successful offensive to seize back much of the territory that Russia had taken from them earlier this spring. Russia, meanwhile, is on the back foot. You have Vladimir Putin trying to mobilize 300,000 reservists, but we saw how poorly his active duty troops performed. There's no reason to think that those reservists would perform any better. Now, I think the president has gotten this wrong coming and going. On the one hand, he's displayed typical Democratic weakness by refusing to give Ukraine the weapons they needed when it might have made a difference. For instance, providing the weapons late last year that might have deterred this invasion, or providing the kind of long-range artillery in the spring that would have prevented Russia from making the gains that Ukraine is now having to fight back against. But at the same time, he's made extremely foolhardy statements that kind of reflect the worst tendencies of wild-eyed liberal interventionists who think that we can remake the world at a stroke. I mean, remember in his Warsaw speech in March when he said Vladimir Putin had to leave power. Now, we might all welcome that development, but we should not call for regime change in the middle of a shooting war in Europe against a country with a massive nuclear arsenal. That's not Ukraine's mission either. Ukraine has a very simple objective. They don't want Russian troops on their soil, and it is a primordial right of any people to fight and die and kill for their own territory. They're asking us to support them in that mission. That's a mission we should support them in. But we shouldn't be trying to go further than that. We should be providing them the weapons they need to fight the war to defend their own soil and their own homes.
Are we going to have a government shutdown? Only a couple days left. Continuing resolution?
Chuck Schumer allows us to move forward in a timely fashion today and tomorrow and doesn't insist on any left-wing amendments going on this spending bill, or perhaps if he simply allows Republicans to have an amendment vote or two on things like our border policies, then no, we won't. But again, this is why it's so important that we get to 51 seats, because it allows us to set the terms of debate. It allows us to control the committees and to write the legislation. So this is being done on our terms, that we can responsibly fund the government, especially critical functions like our military or our border patrol, and not simply try to spend more and more money that's just going to contribute to more and more inflation.
I know you have to be a cheerleader for the Republican cause in the Senate and all that, but realistically speaking, when you look at the map as it is today, what do you think the final breakdown in numbers are when we get past the election in November?
I think these races are going to be close, but I think in the end, the American people are going to simply look at their pocketbooks at the end of October when they're struggling to pay the bills for electricity or the gas bill, struggling to fill up their tank, struggling to buy food in the last week of the month. They're going to think about the quality of life in their communities and whether they can even take their kids to a park or go downtown with their spouse anymore, and say that we have to put the brakes on the Biden agenda, that we need people like Joe O'Dea in Colorado, Adam Laxalt in Nevada, Herschel Walker in Georgia to put an effective check and balance on the Democrats in Washington. So I'm very confident we're going to win. At the same time, we can't have overconfidence or complacency. So I encourage all of your listeners to do what they can to help Joe get across the finish line in November.
We're the state with the number one fentanyl overdose rate in America. And I know that from our little get together this earlier week, you can very, very precisely paint a picture of how it is that we get so much fentanyl here. And it's something that really does require federal intervention. Colorado can't fix what's wrong with the fentanyl crisis all by itself. Why are we seeing this here?
Yeah. So, George, excuse me. I want to correct what you just asked. You asked about fentanyl overdoses. I have to insist there is no such thing as a fentanyl overdose because no one takes fentanyl outside very carefully controlled pain management circumstances under a licensed physician. People take heroin, people take cocaine, people take meth, people smoke weed. Nobody goes out and buys fentanyl. I just read a stack of tragic letters from parents whose children had died of fentanyl. In every case, they had gotten a pill that was counterfeit that they thought was Percocet or OxyContin because they were just experimenting, or they had migraine pain, or they had pain from wisdom tooth surgery, and those parents found their children dead. That is not an overdose. That is a poisoning, and poisoning is a form of murder, and we should treat these fentanyl traffickers and dealers exactly like we would treat murderers. We also have to secure our border because that's where almost all of these drugs are coming from. And finally, we have to take the fight to the cartels. 108,000 Americans died last year from drugs. Almost all of them are coming from the cartels. What would you do if ISIS and Al-Qaeda had set up shop in Monterey and killed 108,000 Americans in 1 year? That's exactly what we should do to these cartels.
Final thing before I know you get to get back to your hearing. You are uncomfortably tall. How tall are you? What's your height?
I'm 6'5", which is usually an advantage in life. I have to say it is uncomfortable when you're sitting in an old-fashioned Humvee, though.
That was the next place I was going to go. You spent time in the Army, and I know you don't talk about it. That's just what veterans do. But tell us where you were and when you were there.
Sure. So I was in for about 5 years. I was in my last year of law school when the 9/11 attacks happened. I kind of wanted to rush out. My friends in the Army told me not to do so, that, you know, the Army wasn't going anywhere for sure. And unfortunately, bad guys probably wouldn't be going anywhere. And if I dropped out of law school in my third year after taking out 3 years of loans without a degree, my law school loans probably wouldn't go anywhere when I started making a few hundred bucks a month as a E-4 specialist. They were right about that. So I worked for a little bit after law school and paid off my loans, and then joined in 2004, and I spent about a year at Fort Benning, you know, Fort Beginning, as it's sometimes called.
That's right.
Getting my commission as a second lieutenant, learning my craft as an infantry officer, and going to Ranger and Airborne School. I pretty much immediately deployed from Fort Benning out of Fort Campbell to Iraq. I was a platoon leader for 40 Screaming Eagles in Baghdad.
101st Airborne, there it is.
Yep, Kurahi stands alone. And then I was in Afghanistan in 2008 and 2009 on a reconstruction team. I was an operations officer, so kind of basically in charge of ground operations for a team that was led by an Air Force colonel. And in between those two tours, I was a platoon leader again at Arlington National Cemetery, where I performed military honors funerals for our fallen heroes and great veterans.
Well, first, thanks for that. I think that people that don't appreciate what took place during the war may not appreciate that the two times you were there, and I was in Iraq after this, but you were there before each of the surges, which really were game changers in sort of how the war progressed afterwards. You were there before we did the surges. So it was still the Wild West when you were in Iraq and Afghanistan.
Yeah. I like to think that it was just a coincidence that I was there right before the surge and not causation. But it was pretty bad in both places, and particularly bad in Baghdad in 2006. You know, it was clear to me almost from the beginning, but especially after the end of my tour there, that we simply didn't have enough troops to control the population and protect them from both Al-Qaeda and various insurgent groups. You know, that was a mistake that President Bush made in the early days of the war. Fortunately, he was able to correct that mistake with the surge in 2007. We stabilized the country, and Iraq, like most of the Middle East, frankly, was basically stable when Barack Obama took office in 2009. And you saw what happened from 8 years of democratic governance when Barack Obama thought it was more important that we apologize to the Ayatollahs and others than that we protect America's interests and stand with our allies. You're starting to see the same world disorder in the Middle East, in Ukraine, and in East Asia under Joe Biden, Barack Obama's understudy.
Well, I had been in U.S. Division North in Iraq, And I saw the difference after we were pulled out. You remember that right there in about 2010, 2011, when he said all the green suiters are out of the desert by the end of December. And within, it feels like months, we're seeing images of Mosul, which was pretty well locked down by us in just door-to-door fighting. I mean, it was craziness that was out there. You did OCS, is that right, Senator?
I did do Officer Candidate School, yes, at Fort Bank.
Listen, I think I see a trend here, and that is you do everything the hard way, right? Like OCS is the hardest way to get a commission. You pick the hardest branch, and then you went to Ranger School, and then you went to both wars before things got a little more stable. Is this a trend? I mean, is this your lifestyle?
On occasion, I've been accused of being the hard ranger, not the smart ranger. Those try to have a little bit of both. I would say that, you know, OCS is considered by some the hard way, but certainly young men and women who spent 4 years in ROTC and at our military academies definitely put in a long time to train, to learn our troops. OCS, 3 months gives you a crash course. It was good for me, but I have high respect for anyone who raises their hand and wants to serve in any capacity. And we need more kids to do that. And unfortunately, a lot of kids are discouraged from doing it right now by the Biden administration's failures, whether it's Afghanistan or the foolish vaccine mandates or the left-wing indoctrination sessions we're subjecting our troops to.
Well, the aphorism is true that the best-looking officers come out of ROTC, but I want to leave you with just a couple moments. If you wanted to say some last thing to Colorado voters out there before we cut you loose to go do your business, what is it?
You know, the simple question is, are you better off now than you were 2 years ago? Can you make ends meet? Or are you struggling with 13% inflation? I got to tell you, when I was driving around Colorado, gas was a lot higher than it is in Arkansas. I had to run into a Walmart. Grocery prices looked higher there as well. I saw a lot of homelessness. We know the problem you're having with fentanyl, the problems you're having with car theft. If we continue down the path that Joe Biden has led us, those problems are only going to get worse. If you want a check and balance on the Democrats' radical ideological agenda, the way to do that right now is to elect Joe O'Day in Colorado and send a clear-eyed, common-sense leader to Washington to represent your views and your values.
Senator Tom Cotton from the great state of Arkansas, sir, thanks for joining us. I really appreciate you taking time out of your busy day.
Yeah, thank you, George.
Thanks, sir. Hey, that was Senator Tom Cotton. You can listen to that on the podcast if you missed any part of that. Some real nuggets in there. Love to get your feedback on this when we come back, 303-696-1971. What did you hear in there? Got to love Tom. I mean, that guy is pretty well spoken. I didn't tell him any of the questions I was going to ask. It just kind of flows out of him in a way. By the way, after we play those clips of Governor Polis giving his answers, you can see a difference. I'm not talking substantive, just in terms of the ability to authentically answer questions that don't seem at all rehearsed because they ain't rehearsed. Just night or day. Hey, listen, we're going to continue to get to the toast, and I just want to prime the pump for you again by saying some lucky three will be offered up to John Caldera. He's the president of the Independence Institute that is hosting the Not-So-Libertarian Block Party this evening, I think 5:30. Out there at the Market High Station at 2027 West Colfax, just southwest side of Colfax I-25 interchange. It's a $35 ticket, but it's only $25 if you type my name in there. And it's free if you have one of the best toasts to our governor for his performance to date as the chief executive of the state of Colorado. We've had a bunch come in, but you just keep texting them in. We'll read them. Billy and I will pick the top three. At the end of the 9 o'clock hour, we'll be joined by John Caldera. He'll pick the winner. And that person, of course, will get the opportunity to have the two free tickets. I want to tell you about another great American, and it's somebody named Mitch Floria. Nope, Mitch wasn't a captain in the Army. They ended up going to Iraq and Afghanistan before things calmed. And I say calmed down, before they were brought under control a little bit more, like Tom Cotton was. But this guy is a super American. Didn't start off life that way. Started off as a Romanian under Ceausescu, right? This dude grew up part of his life under communist control. Came to America legally and was able to start a family. He starts a business, and he wants to use his skills, his commitment to customer service, and the American dream for your benefit. And he does that through the great counters that he can put in place in your kitchen, in your bathrooms. Guy is a wizard. Granite, marble, man-made, God-made, doesn't matter what it is, this guy can bend it to his will, which is your will. So give him a call right now. And if you do, when you call him on his phone, it is the phone that, in fact, if you'll remember from a few weeks ago when he was in the studio with us, it rings the phone on his hip. 303-386-5919, 303-386-5919. Here's the deal. If you mention me, you mention KNUS, You get a bathroom countertop for free with the purchase of your new kitchen countertop. Or maybe you're thinking, I just want to do one room. Great. Then you get a bathroom or kitchen sink for free with the purchase of any countertop package. Who else does that? Go out to his showroom. Do that. Do yourself a favor. Go see him in person. Go to that showroom. You will close the door with him and his team of long-term employees right there at the corner of 6th Avenue and I-70. That is Mitch Floria with The Art of Granite. You can check him out at theartofgranite.com. That's theartofgranite.com. It is George Brockler on The George Show. You're listening to 710 KNUS. Going back about 30 years here for BHT and the M's, a local band. You know them as Big Head Todd and the Monsters. We just know them as awesome from back in the day. George Brockler here on The George Show at 710 KNUS. Going to go to our callers at 303-696-1971. James, you're on The George Show. What do you think, James?
Thank you. I would just like to point out that God's opinion of polis, as in shown in Romans chapter 1, verses 18 on down, is about the same as what you presented about.
What do you mean? How so?
Polis. Well, in that God, in the nature, and nature showed his majesty, but there are those that choose not to worship him, but they choose to go other ways and to pursue foolishness, which is what Polis has done through his lifestyle.
What does that mean, his lifestyle? What do you mean?
Well, he is a homosexual.
Is that an issue for politics for us? I mean, does it matter anymore? And when I say anymore, I imagine there was a time where there was a significant amount of bias and discrimination against homosexuals. But in Colorado, that really hasn't been the case for a while. What are your thoughts?
Only because God says it makes him into a fool. Other than that, I guess not.
Is there, if we take the sexual orientation piece out of it, is there something else about that biblical reference that you think speaks to how he's conducted himself in office?
Well, just God says that he's a fool because of the way he will act as far as relating to other people.
Well, did you get at all a chance to watch online the debate between he and Heidi Ginnall, between him and Heidi Ginnall on the Pueblo Chamber of Commerce dot, I think it might be org, but it could be .com website?
No, I did not.
Did you listen to the clips that we played earlier in the show, sort of highlighting his response or non-response to the public safety question?
I only got to listen to what the Heidi Ginnall said, and I thought she did an excellent job.
I thought she did an excellent job, too. Can I just, before we go, one, do you have a toast for the governor based on his not-so-libertarian approach to being governor here in the state of Colorado? And then, two, if you don't have a toast, and I'd love it if you did, if you don't have a toast, when you go to the polls, I'm not saying that the Bible isn't part of your value makeup, but how much of what you think is going on in the Bible impacts how you view candidates?
Well, a whole bunch, because I tend to believe what God says, since our country is based upon our in God we trust, and therefore we should use his viewpoints.
Well, when you say it's based on that, where do you get that notion?
Our originally founding fathers and our foundation of the United States was because of persecution against those that were attempting to pursue godliness.
Well, I do think religious liberty was a great motivator for many who came across the sea to get here. When you consider what the Bible teaches you, and do you have a specific denomination, James, or is it just a general Christian? Or,
well, I believe in Jesus, and that's essentially it.
But and the reason I ask is different denominations have different, like Methodist is very different than Roman Catholic, as you can imagine.
True.
So do you subscribe to any particular denomination of Christianity?
Just if you like love Jesus, you're saved.
I believe you're right. But is there a particular church that you attend? I don't mean the name, but a denomination of church that you go to on a regular basis?
The Vineyard was what I went to for many years.
I appreciate that. Any thoughts, by the way, James, on a toast for our governor as we head into the not-so-libertarian block party this evening at 5:30 at the Market Station?
No, I don't have anything.
I take it you're going to...
Thank you for...
Yeah, for sure. You're going to be voting for Heidi, I take it.
You bet.
Thanks, James. I appreciate it. Thanks for listening. Thanks for calling in. 303-696-1971. Someone texted in, read Ecclesiastes 10:2. Yeah, I don't know what that one is. You're going to have, I'd have to Google it. And I could, but not while I'm on the air here. It says, we'd be happy to pay to see the worst governor in Colorado history roasted. Well, good. Do it. Come on in here. I want to ask Caldera, because the question that this texter asked was, hey, can we watch the Jared Polis roast online from Lyman, Colorado? I don't know. We're going to ask John. I think we're going to have to ask John that. I'm going to write that thing right down right now. Is it online? Question mark. Because I think that's genius to do that. That may be the kind of technology that the Independence Institute either has a ton of or they've never heard of. Here's one. The Mormon Church is now relaxed. I think it must be on homosexuality because Marie Osmond's daughter is a lesbian married to a woman. That's a lot of money, a lot of tidings that they would have to give up if they threw them out of the church. Yeah, I guess I don't know. I don't know if money drives their principles or not. Here's another toast that has come in, and you can do it at the 710KNUS app or 710KNUS.com. Here's to you, Jared Polis, for saving the people from a thriving energy industry in Colorado. You knew that we didn't know what was best for us when we defeated Proposition 112, so you took it into your own hands to pass very similar things. Even though our air hasn't gotten cleaner and our energy costs have risen, you have successfully proven that you are committed to green energy no matter the cost. Yeah, I love that. That's a good one, too. That's a very good one right there. You can also text in. You can also give us a call at 303-696-1971. Just to recap where we have been today, because we've had a bunch of texts on this, too. They haven't all been toast, by the way. We've gotten a bunch of toast. Some of them have just been comments on other things. We went through the process of highlighting a poll that was done by some lefty groups, Emerge Colorado, the Colorado Working Family Party. And it says that Denver voters, by a pretty big percentage, I think it's over 60%, either strongly or somewhat believe that we ought to elect more women into elected office. That's a big deal because there are two women, Republican women, on the ballot. Right now in November, one of them is named Pam Anderson. She'd like to unseat the current Secretary of State, who's also a woman, but also Heidi Ganahl, who is a woman, who is seeking to unseat Jared Polis. I just presume that true to their word and their commitment to advancing the cause of people based on their gender, that Denver voters will, of course, more than likely vote for Heidi because she's a woman. And again, I'd like to see the polling really drill down on whether or not it's conservative versus liberal women, or if it's women who are always women or women who later chose to become women. I just don't know the answer to that. But I think moving forward, we need to know those things if we're going to truly appreciate these polls, because I think I know the answer, but I'd like to know the answer. The other thing that we've done is we played some of the sound from the debate between Heidi Ganahl and Jared Polis. God, that could have been 2 hours ago. Maybe it's worth doing it one more time here. There's the format was tough for me because as a radio guy, you want to be able to get in there and get some short answers. And there were no short answers. They had like four questions, energy, water, I think education, maybe the economy, but one of them for sure, the last one was public safety. And each candidate had the chance to give a 3-minute-ish answer, followed by the other person's answer, followed by rebuttal, followed by another rebuttal. And all of that gobbled up all the time that was there. Now, it did get a little testy, a little contentious. People poked each other. But when it came to the public safety one, that's the one I sort of tend to focus on for some pretty obvious reasons. There was a very specific question asked of Governor Polis. And if you didn't hear this in the 7 o'clock hour, I'll play this for you. The total clip is about 3 minutes and 9 seconds. But the question itself takes up about 20 seconds of that. And we'll stop for a moment after that question and I'll redirect you to focus on it. And then we'll listen to the governor's, I don't know if you can call it a non-answer, but it feels like a non-answer. Here's how it went last night.
The Colorado Bureau of Investigation reports that between 2019 and 2021, violent crimes, which include aggravated assault, sex crimes, and robberies, increased 17%. Homicides increased 47%. Auto theft increased 86% in Colorado. In addition, the FBI reports in 2019 to 2020, Colorado had the fourth highest increase of crime in the nation. What are the primary contributors to this, and what are your solutions?
Now, that right there is what a lot of people will describe as, and I'm using air quotes here, data. That is data. And that's important because, as the governors want to say, he is a data-driven governor. Now, the question was, what are the drivers of those exploding crime rates? We're going to call it crime tsunami. What are the drivers? The governor wastes absolutely no time in answering that question.
First, just as I challenged my opponent, which she didn't do here tonight, to come out against the plan to buy up the San Luis Valley Water and sell it to Douglas County, I'll reissue my challenge for her to join me in supporting funding the police right here in Pueblo and support 2B this November.
So, first bunch of seconds of the answer, not a single reference to the answer. But did you hear that challenge? I challenge my opponent to support 2B for the blah, 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 blah. Listen to the sound and tell me what you hear Heidi say.
Absolutely.
I also ask her to join me in supporting bipartisan solutions that make Colorado one of the safest states. Look, if I'm reelected your governor, we have a track record of getting things done. And I will come before you 4 years from now, and we'll talk about how we move Colorado from 21st in violent crime to one of the 10 lowest states for violent crime, including right here in Pueblo, working with Pueblo law enforcement to get it done. And look, of course it's about support for our police, for our sheriff's deputies, but it's also about making sure we have the right behavioral health interventions to make sure that we can prevent crime before it happens.
Listen, just a quick pause here to ask the question, how many of you, and you can show, raise, you know, demonstrate by a raising of your hands here, how many people think that we have an exploding number one in America state-wise for car theft because of behavioral health? We're number one in bank robberies. How many think that that is a product of behavioral health? So far, I don't see any hands, but he persists. Billy, I did it. Oh, folks, I've just ruined the rest of that clip. Just to tell you, there's a button on here where we can play sound. It has a teeny tiny, smaller than your finger, pause and play button. If you ever hit outside of that when you have paused, you are screwed. There's no going back. You can't pick up. You have to start all the way over, and I'm not prepared to do that. I just can't listen to them. Just suffice it to say that the remainder, a minute and 45 seconds left of his answer, he does offer no answer as to what the drivers of that crime increase across the board are. He does at one point suggest that the way to drive down crime is to tackle juvenile recidivism by having more money given for camping in the mountains. And I think we've all come to the same conclusion, and that is if there was more money for more kids to go camping, there would be far fewer, I don't know, burglaries, motor vehicle thefts, bank robberies, fentanyl overdoses. And I love Tom Cotton's point. There is no such thing as a fentanyl overdose. They're all overdoses. I think that's brilliant. Now, listen, we're going to cut away for a break here, but not before I tell you about the Colorado Farm Bureau. These folks are wizards with the water. These are our number one fighters to protect our water for the agricultural community, which has the added benefit of not just keeping them in the business of producing food for us. That's cattle. That's the pigs. That's all the livestock stuff, plus all the stuff that grows in the ground. That when they do that, they also make it more likely for us to be able to use the water for things like showering and brushing of teeth and the swimming pool and the yards and the potential, you know, golf courses, although not in Aurora. They're the ones that do that. There's a bunch of water that we get. In fact, all of our water we get because it comes to us from up above. We don't get water from other states. Other states get water from us, and the law says they get to claim it. That's not ours to give them. They own that water. We're just the place it starts. Now, one of the things that we have to do is be smart about how we use that water before it leaves our borders, and the Colorado Farm Bureau, man, they do it. They figured out a way to make such efficient use of that water that it's used multiple times before it leaves our state to go to Arizona and California and all those other states that rely upon it. So here's the ask. Go to ColoradoFarmBureau.com. Go to ColoradoFarmBureau.com. Don't just click on the links and read about it and get smart. That's all super helpful. Don't get me wrong. But join them. join ColoradoFarmBureau.com, and you join them because you are part of the giant muscle that they're building that will help us at the state level and federal level to fend off thirsty California, to fend off thirsty Arizona, and to provide us with the things that we need to keep more of the water that we naturally get. ColoradoFarmBureau.com. When we come back, we'll wrap up with a buddy of the show and the guy who is launching this roast, this toast, for the not-so-libertarian Block Party. His name's John Kelder of the Independence Institute. When we come back, George Brockler, 710 KNUS. George Brockler, 710 KNUS. It's our last segment of this show, but not all shows. We'll be back tomorrow, 6 to 10. Charlie Kirk takes over at 10. We go live and local with Deb F. at 3 o'clock, and then Stephen T. from 4 to 7 o'clock. Now, I want to tell you before we get into our VIP caller to wrap up the show about our good friends at Littleton Fine Jewelry. You know, I went out to their grand reopening just a couple weekends ago with Ellen from sales. Fantastic event. Weather was forgiving. It was jam-packed full of great people, all 710 listeners. And what was cool was getting to see the new expansion fully being utilized. And the new expansion to their operation down there is all custom and design jewelry. I mean, if you are interested at all in not getting something off the shelf, they'll get you the off-the-shelf stuff. Don't get me wrong. You can definitely do that. You can get your watch fixed. You can buy and sell gold and silver and platinum and do coins and all that stuff. But if you're thinking to yourself, I want to do something special. I want to get something special for John Kelder of the Independence Institute, a very unique jewelry item, or maybe it's somebody else that you love and you care about for the big Christmas day, which is less than 90 days from right now. You call these folks. You go, actually, really don't call them. I changed my mind. I want you to get in your car and drive out and see them. Just south of Hudson Gardens, off of Santa Fe, you turn right at the jewelry repair sign. You go in there, and it's far more than jewelry repair. They'll do the custom design from sketch to CAD. That's the computer-assisted drafting stuff. They'll give you the wax model, and then they'll put it all together with the metal of your choosing. And at the end of the day, you come up with something that's unique. It's heirloom quality. It's legacy stuff. It's the thing that gets passed down from generation to generation, and you're the reason it happens because you hooked up with Littleton Jewelry. Now, you can check them out at littletonfinejewelry.com, but that's just the first place that you go to. The next thing you do is you get in your car and you drive over and you see them. Littleton Jewelry, that's littletonfinejewelry.com. Going right to the VIP line, Mr. I Love Custom Jewelry himself, John Caldera. Sir, how are you?
Like you have ever bought me any jewelry. All I've ever wanted from you was just a nice little pendant, maybe a little pinky ring, nothing. All these years, nothing.
Listen, I found
every
something.
Every Valentine's Day comes and goes. I always give you something. You never give me anything.
I found something in your parking lot in Denver that I believe to be a nipple piercing, but you declined to take it from me. And I don't know why, but there it is. Listen, I want to get right to the good stuff, and that is to talk to you about our top three, as Billy and I have seen them, the toasts. And there have been a ton that have come in, and they're all good. Don't get me wrong. They're all good. But these ones are unique in their own way. Here is the one from, and forgive me, as we do it through the text.
For those just joining, I hope they understand that. There's still some availability tonight if they want to come down to our Polis party.
Oh, yep.
To thank Polis for his pro-business, limited government, libertarian way that he has saved the state. We're honoring him tonight at 5 p.m. To 8 at Mile High Station. I think there's still a couple spots left, and it's a wonderful tongue-in-cheek party. We're going to toast them and roast them. And if you go to thinkfreedom.org, you'll see a picture of him wearing his crown, his royal majesty. It's only a 10 cent cost to come in, but with all the Polis fees, it's only $35. But if you put in the special code of George, you think is about George Brockler? No, it's actually King George.
Oh, dang.
We'll knock off $10. Yeah, just come on down. This guy needs to be honored, and we're just so tired of the spin that has happened nationwide, not in Colorado, that this guy is some sort of libertarian dream of a Democrat.
John, in the and forgive me, in the couple minutes we have left, is this going to be live streamed? We've had people text in from like Nebraska and other places saying, "Hey, can
I
watch this?"
No, we're there's going to be too much swearing to live stream.
Okay, I think you can actually swear on live stream. Let me get to these. There's one, two, and three. Number one. Thank you, Jared Polis, for another sleight of hand trick by automatically adding a $29 fee to car registration for an annual Colorado Park Pass. Given all the other fees you've imposed on Coloradans, most won't even know that this fee was added or that they can opt out of the fee. That is number one. Wait, here's number two. And this one, you're going to have to appreciate this. It's a toast, and it's a different kind of – the letters will shock you, but they're not supposed to be. F.U. Polis, found unacceptable by the people. Fights understanding his mistakes. Fictionalized undertaker of common sense, C-E-N-T-S pun. Ulcerous failings. Oops, got to switch that. Look at my shoes. To you, the governor, we toast. The things you've – and then it's – ucked with no F. That's that one. And then, oh my gosh, there's one more right here. Hang on. Where did it go? It is 16. It is so challenging. Here it is. Toast, Your Majesty. You are a libertarian's libertarian. Verily, a champion of the common person. Your kingdom is safe, clean, and a shining example of your benevolent leadership. Your Colorado koshback stuffs our pockets and warms our hearts. Your kingdom boasts criminal milestones unrivaled by other monarchs. May your reign continue in perpetuity. Long live the king. Hip, hip, hooray. Those are your three choices.
Oh, that one's beautiful. You know why? Because we actually have a life-size cutout of His Majesty wearing a crown so people can take a picture with His Majesty. So that might be the toast.
Boom. And we're going to let these folks know.
And your listeners.
We'll put them in touch with you to get those free tickets. And I appreciate that if they put in George, sadly not me, but a George, nonetheless, obviously a gifted person. Then you can get $10 off. And that's fantastic. And I imagine there will be alcohol there.
Have you ever been to any event that I've done where it wasn't liquor fueled?
No, and that's true of even some of the breakfast meetings. I mean, that's amazing that you're able to do that. John Caldera.
We have a brand to keep. Hey, George, thank you for being part of this.
Of course, man.
Just make everything so much more enjoyable.
I think it's going to be awesome. I can't wait to hear the feedback afterwards. There's probably going to be some toasts there that are worth repeating. We may have you on tomorrow to share those with us.
I'd love to do it.
John Caldera of the Independence Institute, thinkfreedom.org. Go there, click on the picture of the governor/king. Type in George, get $10 off. That means it's only $25. But of course, we have our winner right here. I'm typing it in. You won! ! Bam! And then we're going to have to figure out how to get them in touch. Billy is going to be in touch with you. And that's bittersweet, by the way, if you've ever been touched by Billy. It's both good and bad. Maybe he said in touch. I'm not sure. My thanks to Heidi Ganahl and Governor Polis, neither of whom appeared live on here today, but whose answers provided great backdrop for a conversation with you by text and over the phone. My thanks to Senator Tom Cotton from Arkansas at the top of this hour. If you missed it, go back and listen to the podcast. And thanks to all the other folks out there who participated in today's show. Listen, tomorrow, it's a Friday. That means it's a little more loosey-goosey. It's a little more free-for-all-ish there. I am still, for this last part of the show on Friday, at the end of the week, still trying to wrangle somebody who goes by the name Amanda to get her to leave whatever comfort she has in the swamp out there at D.C. to get on the phone and have a conversation with us so we can kind of rubberneck what's going through a teenager's head. She's only a teenager until December. Billy, thanks for behind the glass. Mark Crowley, thanks for the fresh donuts. Whoever left the cold pizza in the fridge, thank you for that too. You've been listening to George Brockler on The George Show. It's the Mighty 710 KNUS.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.